Can you sing? Can you dance? Pull a rabbit from your pants? Make a rhyme? Tell a joke? Burp when you drink a Coke? That's not a talent. Jump a hurdle, do a flip, get your dog to do a trick. Top talent.
Top talent.
Play piano, play guitar, hit a ball really far. Are you a superstar? Let's find out who you are. That's the end of this song. It's already too long. Top talent. Everybody.
Top talent. Top talent.
This is my podcast. Can't sing this anymore because the words are too fast. Yeah, better start the show or I'm not going to last. Top talent.
Let's get at it.
Top talent.
And now, without further blabbing from me, your virtual announcer, who really doesn't exist in the flesh, as if you couldn't guess. Coming to you direct from his basement next to the hot water heater, here's Richie.
Hey there, hi there, ho there, Richie Phillips here. Welcome to Top Talent. This is a podcast that it actually originates from upstate New York's capital region, the Albany area, featuring the talent who lives here, maybe young, maybe old, you know, anywhere in between. Talent that might be coming to the area. Talent that was from the area that left and made it big. Kid talent, it doesn't matter. It's talent. That's the name of the game. My name, Richie Phillips, a.k.a. Rhyming Richie. That's my nickname. Hey, I'm proud of it. Former co-host of a radio show here in Albany. I was on the air here for 30 years. I was very lucky. It gave me a chance to demonstrate what I like to do, which is write novelty songs. I play keyboards, and I get to play it on the air, and we had all kinds of fun with people. So I want to give back. I want to show off your talents. Well, I found talent in a very interesting way. I kind of work part-time in a music store here. It's called Hilton Piano Center, and it's beautiful. It's in a mall here in Albany, New York. Beautiful store. Has almost 100 pianos in there. Everything from small portables to Steinways. And this father and son came in. They were walking around, and the father said, "Do you mind if my son plays?" And whenever it's a younger person, I almost always say yes, as long as they're not, you know, banging on it. Thank God I didn't say that, because this boy, why not boy, student, he's 14 years old, Paul Brault, sat down at a very nice piano here, I believe it was one of the Steinways, and banged out this song. Take a listen. That's an actual recording of him playing in the store. I think I was working on my iPad and my little stylus. I dropped it on the floor along with my jaw when I heard him play. Unbelievable. So we decided to do a Facebook Live, and he did a little concert on Facebook Live. You can also check that out. That's on my Facebook page as well. And after that, I mentioned that I was going to have him on this podcast so we can talk to him, to find out his inspiration, how he learns to do what he does, who taught him. I don't know. I just had to talk to him because he was so fascinating. So here is my discussion, without further ado, with 14-year-old prodigy Paul Brault here on
Top Talent.
Okay, welcome to Top Talent. I know I sound a little muffled because I am wearing a mask, but I'm here with Paul Brault. He is 14 years old, and for you folks that saw him on Facebook Live, on my Facebook, you were dazzled, I'm sure. But I wanted to talk to him a little bit more, so I'm welcoming Paul to the podcast. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Okay, that's it. That's all the questions I have. You can go now. Now, Paul, you're 14 years old. Where are you originally from?
Oklahoma. I was born in Oklahoma.
But I don't hear you playing any country music. I mean, you're Oklahoma. You should be playing, you know.
I don't really like country music.
You don't like country music?
No, I don't like it.
So I guess the big question is, how did you learn? I mean, you know, everybody can play Heart and Soul and that kind of thing, but did you start at a much higher level from the get-go?
So when I started off with just, like, games on an iPad or computer, like music, beat games. And it started off like that, and when I was around 4. And when I was around 5, that's when I actually started lessons. And it was, like, sheet music. It didn't even have, like, the staff. It just had notes to play. So it was really, like, beginner. So I kind of just, like, practiced and got better.
So what you're saying is that video games do have a purpose.
Yeah, I guess.
It's amazing when you really think about it. Yeah, everybody seems to poo-poo them, but no, there's some educational value in it. That's great. Are scales important to you? Like if you're playing, did you start with da-na-na-na-na-na-na, and did your teacher do that, or did she start right with music?
No, it was really just music, uh-huh. And then later on, when, like, warming up was really important, that's when I started to, like, master and learn different scales, such as, like, Hennins and Chernys, and also major and minor scales.
So you do still think it's important?
It's important at a certain level for warming up, yes.
Well, for you folks that didn't see it, he just plays with nothing. There's nothing in front of him except his fingers. So is that the way you mostly play, just by ear?
So I could sight read music, not perfectly, and I can't play just sight read songs, really difficult songs. I have to practice them. But I can sight read easier songs, and some songs, like with easy chord songs, like pop songs, I could probably be able to listen them by ear and play the chords, but that's pretty much all I could hear and play. I don't have a perfect pitch or something like that. So,
Now, do you prefer to play classical? I heard you playing Elton John.
I prefer classical, but I also like good pop songs that I like.
Who would you say in pop music is the greatest piano player?
I really like to play Queen songs.
Yeah.
I like older songs to play, like arrangements. There's a couple of good YouTubers who do good arrangements. And I kind of watch YouTube videos, and they have sheet music links for them, and that's how I find good pop songs.
Mm-hmm. So. And your favorite person to listen to, if you were going to go on and listen to, you know, your favorite piano player to...
On YouTube, it would probably be someone named Francesco Perino or Rousseau, who plays both classical and pop music.
Have you heard Billy Joel, for example?
Oh, Billy Joel, yes. Those pianists as well. I was just talking about YouTubers who do that. I like Billy Joel. I like Freddie Mercury, Elton John.
So you think they're good pianists?
Yeah. I listen to those arrangements of songs.
How about Lady Gaga?
No, not really.
You don't think so?
I mean, I don't really like her songs.
Mm-hmm. So. She's a great singer, though. She does classical. She's classically trained. It's amazing, some of these pop stars, you don't realize they have a classical background, but they really do. Now, you were also a pianist for your chorus?
Yeah, for my choir in school, for 7th and 8th grade, we were obligated to do something musical. And I was in, like, regular music class because I didn't want to sing or be in a band and learn another instrument. And piano wasn't an option. So one day in school, my teacher was just playing songs that I already knew, like Aliturka and Linus and Lucy, the Peanuts song.
Okay.
And I told her at the end of the class that I could play that, and I showed her. And she said, "What are you doing in my... general music class?" And she invited me to be the pianist for the choir.
Wow. And you've done it more than 1 year, right?
Yeah. 2 years.
So you think you'll continue it in... Oh, what grade are you in now?
I'm going in 9th.
So you've been 9th grade? Yeah. So you think you'll continue in music program in high school as well?
Definitely.
I think you're going to be way above the general music class, though, right?
Yeah, I think so.
That might bore you a little bit. Now, NISMA, you also did some stuff for them, right?
I'm going to
open this door if you don't mind. It's a little... I thought it was a little hot in here. Maybe it's fine.
I only did, like, 2 years of NISMA because I never actually knew about it until 2 years ago. And I did a level 4 NISMA duo with someone else, duet with someone else at my music school. And last year I did Clair de Lune as a NISMA. That's it, though.
So how many people were in the audience for that?
It's just the...
Other students?
There's no students, just the teacher who grades me.
Oh, wow.
And that's it, and just the piano player.
Because I play as well. Do you think it's harder? Like, if I asked you to play right now with just your father and me staring at you, do you get more or less nervous than, let's say, you had 200 people? For me, if there's two people watching me, I'm more nervous than if I play for 200 people.
I'm not really nervous at all when it's just someone else who's watching me, that even just a stranger. I don't really get nervous, but in real concerts that I know are important,
right,
then I do get a bit nervous.
Oh, sure.
But it usually, my anxiety, I guess, just stops as soon as I start playing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Because you get the confidence. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, everybody gets nervous. They always say, if you're not nervous, you don't care.
Yeah.
Right? Definitely. I mean, exactly. And this is interesting, too. You don't even speak English at home, both of you, right?
Yeah. My parents are, we're both born in Canada, and French is my first language.
That's fascinating. Because I hear you here. When you two are talking, you're talking in fluent. I hope you're not talking about me, because...
You always have to be careful there. A lot of people know French around here.
That's right. But I'm still confused. You actually live in Montreal?
I was born in Montreal.
You were born in Montreal.
My wife was born in Montreal. But Paul, my older son, was born in Chicago, and Paul was born in Oklahoma City.
Oh, I see.
But then when they were younger, we spoke French at home. So they learned French when they were a kid, and they learned English when they went to, kindergarten. That's when they start. And with friends around the neighborhood, playing with friends.
So you're fluent in both, which is great to have both. Do you know any other?
Actually, music and language is very, very similar skills. Because when we learn language when we were very young, it's all about, sounds.
Sure.
When you're older, you learn words and how to translate them. When you're young, you don't learn to translate anything. You hear a sound and it has a certain meaning.
You're right, exactly. And now we're here with Paul's father, Bernard, by the way. I didn't introduce you. Now, what do you do?
I'm an electrical engineer. I work in telecommunication. And we do fiber optic communication for power companies.
Okay.
Like a National Grid here, for example.
You did? Oh, yeah. Well. Mm-hmm. But you also rigged something up. Didn't you rig something up with a computer for him to learn music?
Yes. Well, actually, when we got the Paul's first digital piano, I put on the piano a computerized system where he had, you mentioned video games.
Right.
And it was a piano teaching system through video gaming. And it was teaching him how to read sheet music, because it all started with a boat going on the ocean, and that was middle C. And then different things got added. Birds flying in the air were higher notes, and fish in the ocean were lower notes. And then there were all kinds of... So you would go through lessons, and if you passed a certain number of lessons, there were some games. And the games were on the piano itself. Mm. So he was hitting the notes, and things would happen. And they had so much fun. They come back from kindergarten, and they were looking forward to actually jump on the piano and play games, where the keyboard was, the controller for the video game.
Sure.
And that's how Paul got started.
Versus years ago, where they would just smack your knuckles if you weren't playing correctly. It was all pain.
Yeah.
Years ago.
I think it's got to be fun. You have to enjoy it. The music is all about enjoying, having fun, and then when you do that, you don't count the number of hours that you practice. And still today, the fun it's slightly different. But Paul gets a lot of motivation from trying to for example, the song he played earlier is very difficult. Of course, he practiced a lot.
You could tell.
And,
But do you... I go back to your microphone again. Paul, do you think you respond better to a teacher who would be really strict? Like, you're not good. You're not good. Do it again. Do it again. Like, how was this teacher that you worked with?
So,
was she strict?
The teacher that I had before, Chelsea Johnson, she was really strict. You could see... if I had made, one little mistake in a song that I already know, I would have to keep playing it until it was perfect, 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 and I would never be able to move on. And every piano lesson that I would go to, I had it once a week, and it would always be long and dreadful, and I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get any motivation in at home either. So Chelsea, she made it more entertaining and more energy, so it was more entertaining and fun.
Well, you're coming from playing with video games, too. That must be hard if you, learn that way, which is really fun, and then go to a really strict teacher. That must be that's got to be hard as well. What? Oh, yeah, your father was saying that this really isn't your big aspiration when you get out of school. You're not thinking totally music when you get out of school, right?
Well, no, it's something that I do. I'm not always I want to play piano, but when I do play piano, it's fun.
Right.
And I enjoy it, but it's definitely not the first thing on my mind.
So what would be the first thing? What do you think you want to be?
Well, I don't know. It just depends.
Oh, I thought you might be interested in the medical profession.
Yes, but it's not like I want to have good grades, and I do have good grades. So I do focus on like schoolwork and homework when I do get home. But it's not like serious. It's serious enough, except I wouldn't say it's all I think about. Mm-hmm. Definitely not. I guess my life is really, really balanced, I guess.
No, they have a very, very healthy attitude. Because there's some people that, you know, if they don't make it in music, they're going to go crazy. And, you know, it is a hard business. But yeah. Your talent is just absolutely unbelievable.
So what do you want to do in college? You
told me about this course in college. I could do, like, a bachelor, half, like, music and half STEM. So that's something that's interesting.
That would be good. Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. I have made two majors, a major in music and a major in science and STEM. And I think that's a great combination.
Sure, so. You have something to fall back on, which is great.
Yep.
Yep, which is great. Well, I just got such a kick out of hearing you the very first time. I was telling everybody. I show the video clip from the store here at Hilton Piano Center where we are. For you folks who are listening from out of town, because with a podcast, they could be listening from anywhere. This is a piano store in Albany, New York, in a mall. We're in the Colony Center Mall. Right next to Macy's on the second floor if you're from this area, and we'd love you to come up and see some of the pianos. Did you like the piano that the boss let you play?
Yeah, it was really good. I like the Yamaha 7 feet, right?
Yeah,
it was very comfortable, I guess I could say.
It's only the most expensive one that we have here, so we'll give it to you on sale today.
I thought
he found it. That's right. Well, you deserve it. We didn't want to give you a tinny old used one with every other key missing. Right?
Would have been different.
Right. Yep. Have they ever forced you to play like a piano that was like, ugh?
Actually, when I was in sixth grade, there was this talent show, and they had a piano. But the piano sounded completely terrible. It was out of tune. I asked them if they were going to change it for the concert. They told me that they would. But the day of the concert, I saw it. It was the same one. And it didn't sound too good. So.
But did every key work? Or that's kind
They worked, but they didn't sound good.
Right, right. So. Could you imagine trying to play? I mean, for a lot of people that don't play, they'd say, oh, you got 88 keys, so one of them doesn't work. Big deal. But for you, so you got 87, big deal. But for that'd be a disaster.
If they're going to have a piano that's not well taken care of, they'd be better off with a digital piano. It's not as ideal, but it'd be better for the school maybe if they're not going to tune it or not maintain it.
Sure.
There's some occasions where a digital piano is its fit.
Gee, I wonder where they could buy a digital piano. Oh, at Hilton Piano Center, right here, as a matter of fact.
Paul learned on the digital piano, migrated to acoustics, so you can go a long way on the digital piano.
Oh, you should see some of the ones here. Yeah. They've really come a long way. Yeah, they've got the touchdown, the field. Well, thank you so much, Paul. Bernard, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. And if you want to see the full 18 minutes of his playing, once again, you can go to my Facebook page, which is Richie Phillips. That's all you got to do is type in Richie Phillips, R-I-C-H-I-E, Phillips. And that's it. You will be dazzled. I guarantee it. It was writer Eric Zhang, who once said, quote, "Everyone has talent, but what is rare is the courage to follow it to the dark places where it leads." And I'm on the lookout constantly for talent. If you know somebody who would like to be interviewed on this podcast, you can email me at richie1077@gmail.com. You can, message me or whatever. I would love to feature them. Let's end this the way we began, with a little more of Paul's unbelievable playing, and we'll see you next time on Top Talent. Talent.